live and on our final victory lap, celebrating a scoreless draw over France. Yeah! It's the Vocal Minority Podcast. Suck it, France. That should have been trending.
Who doesn't know that a draw in France for the underdog is to be celebrated?
100%.
The most glorious thing. The movie's made about this with Michael fucking Caine in there. 90-year-old Michael Caine playing, I'm not sure which Canadian player he's going to be playing as. Alistair Johnston. Pelé can play Kyle Larin.
I'm not going to bury another Scottish Premier player. I'm not.
I need to work on a fucking Michael Caine. Oh my god.
You know, I've heard worse, so I'm giving it to you. Well, hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast, the podcast that really likes random football movies. On this week's episode, we look back at a bevy of national team matches, get surprised by a signing, preview this weekend's TFC match, and more. Now, this week's panel. The only panelist that is a true fan of the women's national team. Welcome to Duncan Fletcher.
True. I was there. Absorbed and thrilled and just really engrossed in the game for the whole time. Yeah.
I believe that 100%. Every word. Yeah. Waiting for the inevitable ticket requests for July. Say hello to Mark Hinckley.
I wish I had this kind of pull. I also wish I had this kind of demand for those tickets, but look, it's a big stadium and they don't usually open up the upper parts. So only unless there's kids coming or Mexican teams. But come to the game. There's a really good chicken tender place, like not 10 minute walk from the stadium.
Oh. So it's small. 10 minutes?
On foot. And it's well lit, Duncan. You can't be afraid. I could already sense where this was going. Message me at Malarkey FC and I'll tell you where it is.
Excellent.
Busy working out his schedule for watching both Euro and Copa America. Tony won't be joining us this week. I should see the chart, though. It's quite something. It really is. It takes up a huge part of the wall.
He's got the cricket, the T20 World Cup in there as well. There's just too much.
Oh God, yeah, it's a subset off to the side. It's just ridiculous. So yeah.
Putting in a lot of work. He could do a great freaking podcast with the amount of sports watching.
Right?
He could find the time and the place.
It would be something. As for me, I'm sad to be missing Albania's opening match of the Euro due to work. Stupid need to pay rent and buy food. Psh, whatever.
Capitalism.
Honestly. Worst. I am your host, Kristen Knowles, and now to our show. All right, first up on the show is, of course, what's been happening. What's been happening is a lot of national team action. Woohoo! So I realized in the rundown I put both XNT matches, even though we'd already talked about the Montreal match. So it's still good to say, hey, they won. Yay! That was great. And then they came to Toronto. And apparently the vibes in Toronto were just not good enough and they only drew. Nice night at BMO from the looks of it. Again, Duncan was our sole representative at this match. Mm. I know. Thank you, Duncan, for being such a super fan and representing the podcast so well. We're very grateful and we're so pleased and honored to know you. How was the view of Kadisha's goal from the other end? Because on TV, it was delightful. I was very happy for Kadisha just because it's impossible not to like Kadisha Buchanan. She is a ridiculous delight. And then was, again, on TV, a very nice goal, but I just, walk us through it, Duncan. Tell us tales. Regale us of your night at BMO for the national team.
Okay, but like the whole thing, I feel like you were zeroing in on the goal there, and then you expanded.
Well, I was, but you know what? Feel free to expand.
Okay.
In the sixth minute. For those of you who don't know, the goal was scored in the 48th, but anyway, go ahead. Yeah,
we'll get there.
Minute by minute.
We got 2 hours to fill. Go for it, Duncan.
The Duncan Fletcher special, minute by minute. Here we go.
It wasn't great, really. It was, as you say, very nice weather for it. No insects either. That's nice.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I saw some people there. So sort of James Grossi out of the press box, hanging out with Hoyt Beloy with his.
That's right, with his dad.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get to see his dad.
So sort of Sonia Missio and her kids were sort of wandering about at some point.
Nice.
Yeah, Jimmy Brennan was there. I didn't in any way.
What, like just in the stands, like a plebe? What?
I'm not sure exactly where he was the whole time, but the one time I saw him, he was basically sort of either in line for a beer or just like hanging out with some other people that were getting beer. Huh. And some people were talking to him, whatever, and he was like, oh, it's Jim Brennan. Yeah, okay. Not a lot of sort of voyageur or the supporters section people, really. But aside from that, I'd say it was a fairly decent crowd. The kids, the suburbs, they did their part. They got there, and the Mexicans. There's a few Mexicans in the crowd. At some point, they started a wave, but that's cool.
Oh, really?
That's just cultural. That's their thing. You can't complain about that. Mexicans like waves. As for the game itself, nothing really got going in the first half. I was hoping for more from sort of Lacasse and others. Was thinking, oh, okay, these are kind of like exciting players, and just nothing really happened. Kadisha scored a goal, hooray. I was at the other end of the pitch, so I didn't have the greatest view of it. At least I did actually see it. Rose missed it because she was stuck in the lineup that was just like ridiculously long for the ladies' washroom.
It's so funny. As like for someone who's been going to matches at BMO Field for how long we've been going? 17 years, long time, right? Like since it was built, and for the majority of that time, very rarely having to ever stand in a line for the loo, which is so nice, especially in the early years when it was so heavily the fan base was predominantly male. Like, I could basically do laps around the stadium while watching a friend slowly inch his way forward in the men's line, and I'd just be like, woohoo.
Did you?
No, but I would go up and down the concourse and just like wave at him sometimes. Oh, there you are. Okay. I'm going to be over here for a while. I'll be back.
You weren't actually genuinely sort of running laps around the concourse because I mean, that would have been entertaining.
It would have been entertaining. It's true. I'm not that interesting. So no, I didn't do that, but, it does when it's the women's team, then yes, the fan base swings the other way. It's true.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So she missed that goal. But I've never been a fan of sort of like just looping headers that just kind of like go over the goalie and then just kind of like slowly fall into the net. For whatever reason, they don't look very sort of spectacular or anything. It all just looks like, I feel like the goalie should have got that. But it just, I'm not the best person to ask about sort of that goal, really. But, happy for Alicia. She scored a goal. That's good. Then Mexico scored and looked probably the most likely to score again. And then, it got a bit feisty. And
yes.
That fucking...
Whatever foul that was, on Jordan Huitema?
Yeah, whatever you would describe that. Huitema. Just in the middle of the pitch where, she's going to fall on grass. That's still not nice. But you're just going to knock it down to just right onto... fucking concrete or whatever material it is by the benches. That's clearly not grass. It looks pretty hard. It's Jesus.
Like, I still cannot believe that wasn't a red card. And like, I watched that clip.
It's just because it's a friendly as well. You know, you can't really bother with red cards and friendlies.
You fucking can. Like if you, again, if you've seen the clip, you see the player like literally stop and take measure of where Heidema is going to be. And like it's egregious. Yeah. It was, anyway, you know, and then thinking about the fact, you know, like with Heidema's, her, you know, she's already has an injury past to do with her back. So instant like fear and terror for her. You know, is she like severely injured? Is she re-aggravated an old injury? Is there a new injury? Like, it doesn't matter. It was ridiculous. Sorry, yeah, continue. I mean,
didn't actually see that at the time, but you just kind of like notices like, oh, I just lying there on the ground for a long time. It's like, what actually happened? And then kind of like saw the highlights later, and that's bullshit. But yeah, you know, it's there's at least a little feistiness to it. That's something. And yeah. And that's about it. Not the most inspiring game, really. It doesn't make me think, oh, what a shit. Yeah, they're going to come back with a medal. But, you know, they generally never look like that. And then they get to the Olympics and they do.
Also, yeah, true. I know.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I because this was the match that I, you know, I managed to see, you know, a decent chunk of. Yeah, the second half, I certainly thought that it was more Mexico's game to take, and I was happy that they managed to only, you know, it was only a, you know, 1-1 draw, but yeah, there wasn't as much. I don't know. There didn't seem to be as much freedom of play. Like they didn't seem to be. They just seemed really sort of stilted. Yeah,
yes, there was no joie de vivre about the whole thing at all.
So I think I was talking to my dad, and I said something similar. I said it felt very clunky. The half that I saw, which is basically the second half. So yeah, they've got, I don't know, they're playing, they've got another friendly once they get abroad or two, but I don't think they've announced who it is they're playing. Regardless, I think probably the most important thing is that nobody was freshly injured, so that was good. And like Jordan Heidema seems to have managed to walk away from that, you know, she was back up eventually and back in the match and stuff like that. And a couple players that, you know, we're still coming back from injury, got some time. So that's good. Both Kaylin Sheridan and Sabrina D'Angelo, you know, each got a match. Livy Smith got some time. That was really good. I think maybe a highlight would be Simi Ojo. I think she had a good couple matches. And I'll be shocked if she's not named to the squad for Paris. So that's great, you know, and she's, you know, she's still so young. She's got so much time ahead of her. So, because there's still questions whether or not Quinn is going to be healthy to go. And it will suck if they can't go, because we love Quinn and they've been such a mainstay of that midfield, but that's a very, you know, a very up in the air, and with Olympic squads being what they are, you can literally only take so many people. So I think though on balance, yeah, not an inspiring warm-up to head off to defend the gold, but they didn't lose, so that's good. No one got hurt. That's good. I know I'm like feel like I'm grasping at straws, but I don't know. It wasn't terrible. It could have been so much worse, right?
I think so. I think it could have been, what's the word I'm looking for? It was looking like it was heading towards calamitous at times. Like, just, I kind of felt like Mexico was creeping back in, and with the chippiness at the end, it's like, this could have been a disaster from a confidence point of view, an injury point of view, and a result point of view.
Right.
When it looked like, I mean, the first half from the highlights that I saw, like the look, they seemingly were in some form of control. Like it wasn't, it felt like it was even-ish, but more for Canada. If I think that's
yeah,
how I'm kind of approaching it, or how I kind of interpreted it.
Oh, I think over two matches, it leans in Canada's favor for 100%. Sure, not just because of the result. Like they were the better team.
Like that,
but
the Montreal game was pretty comprehensive.
Yeah.
But just seeing how it kind of was petering out, like just the whole momentum was just petering out. And,
yeah.
And the whole point of these games were to have a stretch before Paris. And the last thing you want to do when you're stretching before a thing is to pull something. And yeah. And it, anyway, analogy aside, I think it could have been a better two games. I mean, scoreline results notwithstanding, could have been a better two games. But to my esteemed colleague's point, they normally don't look that good. And then, hey, medal! And I actually genuinely think it is
magic. Like seriously, I don't. I've yet to figure this out over the course of a decade.
Right, but like it's. I say this as jokingly and optimistically as possible. If this is our role in Olympic women's footy, hey, medal, sure. I don't even give a shit what color it is. I don't. I can't care. Yeah. You know why? Because in all three of those, going into those tournaments, no, probably not. Probably not. But they did. And the fact that it's three in a row is
really, I know,
fucked up. Like, I mean that in the sense, like, we're going through a, like, that the purge is not the right word, but the evolution of going from one generation to in the midst of another one, which have the makings and the markings of a very good, probably like for like, as the previous one. Are they there yet? Don't know. But Olympics, hey, medal, it's all to play for.
Mm-hmm. You just think that, it should be, in this, it's all about, the Olympics, they do well. So it should be the NSL. I've got its name there, but the NSL. Yeah, it's never teams like the Olympics. The Montreal, the Montreal Olympique or what have you, right?
I actually really like that.
Yeah, which then just kind of makes me remember. It's like, oh yeah, there was a bunch of, they had some things here or there for the Toronto, the AFC Toronto.
Yeah.
They had some, there were people wandering around in hats and some flags. So clearly somebody had been giving out merch of some kind there, so. So, yeah.
Voyageurs sort of participated in the flag aspect of that. We made sure that there was a presence, both banners and flags, to, the meet and greet was the night before at Kraft, yeah. And that was really well attended from what I could see. Everyone had a good time, just to try to, not try to, but like, obviously, did the same thing when the Campiel was launching and tried to, it's important. Yes, we support the national teams, but these two leagues, part of their existence is to hopefully help grow the national teams and grow the game in Canada. And that's what Voyageurs are all about. So yeah, no, it was good to have a collaboration with AFC Toronto and the NSL for that match.
Mm-hmm. Gannon Matheson was there. So doing something for Robin Gill at halftime. There's some presentation for Robin Gill celebrating her career. That was nice.
Soccer, was it her soccer Hall of Fame induction, right?
Yeah, maybe. Something like that. That was good. Who was it got to 100 caps? Somebody got their 100th cap in that game as well. That's nice. Can't remember.
Oh, was it Shalina?
It was Zdorsky, yes. Yeah. Shalina Zdorsky. Yep. But, well done to her. I wouldn't have thought that she'd got to 100 as of yet, but I guess she does. It still seems weird that, like Atiba's like he's got the most caps and what have you. Has any of the men got to 100? No. And Zdarsky never really thought of as a, oh yeah, absolute fucking first name on the page kind of definite first team player. And yeah, oh, she's checked off 100.
Yeah. Quietly
Weird.
been like one of the go-to defenders for
Yeah.
some time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even with the injury and the break she took. Yeah. Sadly released by Spurs. Don't know what's going on there. She's the captain at one point, so that's very odd. We'll find out. Maybe they'll bring her back. But she'll land somewhere. I have great faith in Shalina's
Yes.
ability to land on her feet. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's move on to the men. Now, I saw neither of these games because they were both on while I was working, and stupid time difference scheduling gods.
Goddamn capitalism.
I know. Seriously interfering with my life, like please. And I love my job, but still, it's just psh, whatever. However, I've looked at the highlights and read some things. I believe. Both of you have watched a good chunk of these matches. But I was, so it was nice to see the nil-nil result against France on Sunday. And while I did not, I don't think I, no, we didn't expect them to beat the Netherlands, it was very interesting to see sort of how that all fell apart in the second half. It's and that's rueful laughter. It's not like, oh, this is so much fun. It's like, oh, you tried to do a thing and you didn't think about it. Oh no. Oh no. And then having only seen again, only seen the highlights, quote unquote, especially of that match. Did Dane St. Clair completely play himself out of any starting spot potential for the next couple years with that performance, or is it is like a, do you think that just gets shrugged off as a one-off? Anyway, since the two of you saw most of these matches, I'm going to let you discuss.
I think if the measure is mistakes, he did not do himself any favors compared to the performance that Crépeau had
Maxime,
against
yeah.
France. There's a gulf. And I know St. Clair is playing outstandingly well with Minnesota right now.
Yep.
And I know that this performance is really not in line with what you expect from him. Crépeau also has been known to be a big time player. Like when he needs to step up, he steps up. And now that that number one job basically is his,
Yeah.
it's kind of cemented it. I absolutely feel for him. Like it was the time he like this was his opportunity to at least be realistically part of the conversation. Whether that's he gets a game rather than he gets three or none. I feel like that's, I don't want to say, like, I can't say for certain what Jesse Marsh is thinking, but I would have to think it's kind of off the table for the next few competitive matches, short of injury, obviously, but ish. Like that was rough. And I mean, for whatever excuses there may have been as to some of the gaffes, like he made some spectacular saves, no question, but more than one of those goals, there's a heap of responsibility, at his feet. So it's tough. It's t I feel bad for him, but I can't see a situation where he deliberately gets the number one, or gets the starting slot ahead of a healthy Crépeau.
Yeah, I'd say we're about the same, really. I mean, I don't really think that, you're going to sort of blame that defeat on him.
No.
He made some good saves, and it's just because of, all right, you're 4-0, that there was always a good chance that's going to happen. At least one of the goals was a, oh, yeah, you should have done better on that one. which, like I say, it's like Kripo didn't have any of those moments in the game against France there. And, you know, they both made some good saves and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's not the best. I think definitely, I don't think it's terrible for Dane St. Clair, but Kripo definitely comes out of these two games better in that sense. Yeah, as far as just the Holland game as a whole, I didn't see the first half, but apparently, you know, that the scoreline went okay and everything. I mean, who knows exactly, you know, how 100% gung ho trying the Dutch were, or but they're more experimental. But yeah, I mean, it had like the vibes of, you know, that Croatia game. It's just like, okay, they've eventually like figured out what we're doing and can now just exploit that essentially. Which they did quite well in that second half, really. And yeah, that's just basically, you know, the difference between, you know, some team that's ranked 40 something in the world and one that's in the top 5 or top 10 or whatever, Holland there. So, you know, those games are going to happen, really. But yeah, the French one was better.
Absolutely. And I think too, the comparison was just how they handled pressure better. Like some of the Dutch goals just seem like you're not going to stop this. You just weren't. You know, like one of the Van Dijk goals was like good luck. Like he would have had to screw that up for it to not go in.
Right.
Fair. You know what? Like that's, I'm not hanging that on anybody. If there's anyone on the Canadian team that has to take some responsibility for that, it would be the defenders. You can't put them on that. But Kripo made some great stops. He just body language with a lot more confidence and was not even slightly alarmed by who, he didn't look like he gave a shit who they were playing against, which to be fair, you could easily get in your own head when, you know, you're staring down a 95th minute run from Mbappe to try to get the one goal they need to win the game. Right. Like he kept his shit together. Yeah. So like that's all. I mean, I know it's the minimum you hope for out of a keeper, but really, and with the gulf of class, that's all I need. Like I don't, more than that is a bonus. So the fact that he can keep his metal under some pressure, Messi's not going to beat him. I'm going to say it right now. Messi will not beat Kripo. See? Mm. Controversial. Ooh. Hot takes. Here we go.
Exactly how much of my the value of my house should I be putting on that tip, Mark?
Mark Betts.
Mark
Betts. Bets.
Mark Betts. I would say... Yeah. Let's take this offline, Nook. I think it's probably in. Like, let's think about it. I've got my drink has got a little bit of tequila in it, so you know I shouldn't be gambling. Gambling advice while under the influence. I think
you may be ready to be going up to like $2 or $3 Canadian dollars.
Should I message
Mary to hide the credit cards?
I was just going to check my wallet just to see how much loose change I have in it. That being said, I wonder if you probably can't get a line that says he won't score.
My betting house is
the Ontario Lottery.
There's got to be an over under on Messi goals.
Then that's the play.
And you take the under.
I'm gonna do it. Dunk, you heard it right here. I might place up to 3 whole Canadian dollars of currency on that, but no more. I'm not crazy. That's not like I got a house, right, Dunk? Anyway, yeah, Kripo, number one.
Yes,
and I think, like, honestly, even before seeing the highlights from those two matches, as much as I absolutely adore Dane St. Clair, and I do,
that's true.
I really do. I've talked about him a lot for the last several years. I know you're all sick of it. It's fine.
There's other players, Kristen.
Yeah, have you ever heard of this? There's some Italian guy called Frederick Bernardeschi. Have you ever heard of him? You might like him. You should look into him, Kristen.
Really? Oh, interesting. Frederick, you say. Delightful.
Yes, yes.
But I am also a huge fan of Maxime Crépeau, and Tim, you know, we've talked about it. We've said that he has basically been the heir apparent to Borjan for the last few years. You know, even you know, the way he came back from that injury, without, you know, basically picking up where he left off before that horrible leg injury, right? So, as an order of operations in terms of Canadian keepers, this makes sense to me anyway. So I would expect, I expect that the number one spot is Max's now, and that Dane is the backup. And who's the other guy? Thomas something? He's one of them.
Something the Thomas.
Is that the guy from Brighton?
Yeah. Hagel? No. Yes? With an H? I don't know. It's terrible. I'm like the worst. Anyway, but I think, yeah, like as a 1-2, and obviously, again, St. Clair has some needs. You know, he's got some growing still to do. I do think it's good that he got a game, though. So
yeah,
I'm glad
taller,
that.
Dwayne. Be taller, Dwayne. Be taller, Dwayne. Come on.
He is kind of short for a keeper, isn't he? But I think it was good that Marsh put him in for a match. Like, I think it's important, regardless of kind of, you know, it's important to have that sort of experience and, you know, and to learn from it. But also glad to see Crépeau have a solid performance as well. And anyway, my other question before we move on from this, mostly because my dad kept texting this to me. And so this is a familial thing. You have to understand that it's not just my own experiences in watching Kyle Larin, but my dad really dislikes him a lot too.
And he didn't do much, you know, in these games.
Yeah, and that was after Thursday's match, I got the, I think it's time for Larin to stop starting. And then on Sunday, I can't believe that Larin is starting. Ah, you know, he was so mad. And then when he finally got subbed off, because it was quite late, it wasn't like the 73rd minute or something that Larin got subbed off, you know, text from my dad. Finally taking him off, you know, should have been 20 minutes ago. He was so angry. And, you know, as if you've listened to this podcast for a while or talked to me for any length at all about the men's national team, you know that for a good chunk of the last decade, I have not really been a fan of Kyle Larin's, but I had softened on him in recent years because
he scores goals. Yeah, I get it, Kristen.
Scored some goals and seemed to have grown up.
As long as you score goals, Kristen won't absolutely poop all over your name.
That is not true. I will absolutely never say nice things about Eric Astley. I was not happy when Toronto signed him. Couldn't stand him when he was here. Happy to see him leave. Was delighted. Dislike him intensely.
Okay, yeah. But like Eric Astley wasn't very like
many goals.
Yeah, that too.
Anyway.
I enjoyed Eric Astley. I had no problem at all with him being here. But yeah, he didn't score many goals.
So my question is, is it time for Kyle Larin to stop starting, or did he just have a rough couple matches and these were friendlies and it doesn't really matter anyway?
The questions that go with that is like, okay, so are you changing the formation or is somebody else starting in his position?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm kind of at.
That's a good question.
Because if it's two up top.
Yeah.
It's John David and
right,
and it's and like there's a I don't feel for a second that Kyle Larin's job is secure as a starter. Like I feel like anybody can really come take it, but he just races enough ahead where it's like, well, obviously he's the second striker. Like every time like, well, he's kind of like Junior Hoylett can have a decent game. Sure. He can, but then Kyle Larin just bagged a brace. Like, oh, fuck. Okay. Well, one's hot, but he's hotter. So, or like whoever else is in that depth. I know that Hoylett's not exactly a forward, but I just think
I think that's a good example.
Like as much as for every time he's started over somebody, his form at that moment justifies it every time. And unfortunately, he also scores while wearing the shirt, which makes it harder to kind of knock him down.
I guess Liam Miller is the one that I put forward as trying to take that spot, really. I know a lot of people, a lot of people bring up Theo Bear and Ugbo, but I don't think either of them have really, outside of their club play, have really proven themselves for Canada consistently. Mm. And they're both still young, right? So, but I think...
Tejon Buchanan ever played more centrally?
He's very much options, really. out wide a lot, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about Miller as well, is he doing into a more of a wide player. And,
that's true.
So Corbianu is
he's kind of quietly disappeared off the radar. I forget where he last. He's ended up.
Yeah, that's true. I don't even know where is he.
He was at Basel, and then he's.
Yeah, where is
he? I'm not sure if he was sold to a Spanish second division team, I think, or if he's on loan there, or I don't think Spurs have him anymore on the books. But okay, I'm on it now that I've said all this out loud.
And then, who's this kid that got called up late that everyone's been going on about? Plays for Minnesota. Tani Alawaseye, the Nigerian who plays for Canada. He's, he's been having a great club season, and people have been clamoring for him to get called up, and he was a last minute call for these matches. Whether he plays in Copa, maybe that would be a good time for him to get some minutes with the squad, because I don't think he played over the two matches. He got 6 minutes. He played for 6 minutes. So that's something, at least. At least he got on the pitch, which is actually important. So that's good. Again, young guy, early mid-20s. But I remember just seeing, people talking about him constantly. And I've watched him, because I if I'm not watching, I occasionally will watch some of a Minnesota match, because I do like the Loons. I like their fan base almost more than anything.
I thought you said I watch Minnesota. I do like balloons. And I'm like, what the fuck did I miss? And yes, you do.
Anyway, but again, very unproven, right? It is kind of like Jonathan David, Kyle Aaron, and then you start to mix in, Junior Hoylett, and so on and so forth. And then various, scoring midfielders, that kind of thing. But yeah, there's not a lot of proven up top guys right now. So yeah, no, I get it. Marcus, did you find the information?
Technically, as of the words falling out of my mouth, he did sign for a Spanish team. They are currently in the second division because they got demoted, Granada.
Aww.
Yeah.
Oh.
They finished dead last in La Liga. So they are a second division side. But yes, that's where he landed. He's nine appearances, two goals. Did I see one goal? And he is no longer no longer under the books of Wolves. So he is Granada.
Fully at. Okay, interesting.
I enjoyed Granada when they were there. I saw Albania play a football game in Granada.
What?
That sounds about right. I feel like you told me this.
Yeah. 1997, there was, I guess, something going on in Albania that meant that, we're not going to play the home games there. So Albania versus Germany happened in Granada while I happened to be there. And Albania actually looked quite good. Germany won 3-2. Klinsmann scored a hat-trick. But Albania actually looked quite good.
I have high hopes for them at Euro, quite frankly. At least yeah, like to, at least to get out of the I think they'll get out of the group stage. I see no reason why they won't. Past that I'm not sure, but I expect them to get out of the group stage without it being like, oh, they just scraped by. No, they had very good qualifying. They did really well leading into the Euro. So yeah, I'm excited for them. All right. Well, let's move on.
Digressions.
Yeah, that's our bread and butter right there.
Ishmael Kony so, as well. Very good. Cornelius Bombito played well. A little bit sad that I saw, you know, especially against France. There's positives to take from this.
Good.
But anyway, yes, move on.
So what we're talking about, and we got lots of things to talk about, but actually my first question is still relating back to the men's national team. So first couple matches from Jesse March. And I only saw from clips, so I don't have a good sense. Although just looking at sort of like some of the subs, the timing of the subs, I have questions, but it's early doors. And again, two friendlies against really good quality teams. Do you have any sort of thoughts, immediate thoughts about him, or just like it's far too soon to really have opinions of his managing style?
Yeah, generally it's sort of too soon. I mean, obviously, like I was saying, the Netherlands figured it out and then kind of like just turned it on and destroyed us a little bit. And there was no real adjustments sort of back to counter that. But then, yeah, you know, you look at the France game and you kind of weren't lucky to get that draw. They, you know, generally played at a like similar level to the French, really. So, you know, there's good things in there, but yeah, it's difficult to judge, really. You know, most of his job isn't going to be playing against people, teams of this level, really. It's going to be more about, yeah, you know, eventually, you know, we'll get back to the hex, the octagon, whatever it's going to be for qualifying and that sort of thing. I think, you know, that's kind of really where, all right, there's going to be certain expectations, or the next time there's a gold cup that's like, you know, just CONCACAF or what have you, you know, there's expectations there, right? There's going to be a few games where playing against teams more or less at your level, and can you be beating those teams? In Copa America,
so really,
is, you know, not really expecting much there. Even like for the World Cup, I mean, it depends obviously who against they get drawn against, but
well, you know, I think difficult to judge. I think Copa will be sort of a good, a bit of a litmus test, like, but like not. I don't think an unfair one completely, right? Like, I obviously tough tests, especially the first match, but. You know, proper tournament and no, you know, your mentality can't be, oh, it's just a friendly, obviously, right? So I think that'll be more interesting, and I think maybe more telling, at least in terms of his style, whether or not, like, you know, he's the manager for the next several years and into the World Cup, unless something goes horrifically wrong, right? You know, like but I'm sort of I am curious. I am looking forward to seeing Canada in Copa and just seeing the tournament, but seeing how they perform and if he tries something different with them, if there is a different sense about the squad. It'll be interesting.
True. I kind of feel like, much to Duncan's point, is that this is all him figuring things out these first two games. Given that he's had two whole matches before a major tournament.
Yep.
That's not the runway you'd hope.
No.
To be fair, this isn't the major tournament where, you know, we have our crosshairs on, so to speak. This is going to be a nice day out for everybody, you know, for the three matches. But he needed to figure out, at least in person with his tactics, who his starting 11 is. So I expect that there's going to be a fair amount of experimentation during Copa, regardless of how far they get. because he's still going to be tweaking things. That being said, yeah, I don't, this is nothing to, there's not enough here for me to think less or highly of him. I mean, there wasn't a lot of, shall we say, personnel experimentation. Granted, again, two games, that's not a lot to really play with, plucking a couple players out of obscurity or who are on the fringes to give them a run out type thing. This is not the time nor place, but I feel like he just needed to firm up at least who he's taking to Copa, yeah, and who's going to be, you know, what that pecking order looks like on a per position basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that squad, I guess they, you know, that's got to be announced any day now, really. You know, they'll be leaving next week or this end of this week, right? So decisions are being made any second, kind of thing. So
when actually is the first game to the Argentina game?
Next Friday. That's it's next Friday.
Week on Friday. Okay.
Yeah. Man. They are the opening match of the tournament.
No pressure.
It's Canada and Argentina on Friday, and then no more matches until the next day. It's just one match. That's it. They are the opening match. So zero pressure at all. No.
Box office draw, Canada. Yeah, who gives a fuck about, you know, that those other guys there? It's Canada.
It's Canada. Uh-huh. Surely our American friends will come out in droves to support us. Like that's just the way that works, right? Isn't that how that works?
Absolutely.
Sorry, Thursday, not even Friday. It's Thursday. It's Thursday night, next Thursday.
Man. Jesus.
My calendar is...
Fuck.
Yeah, I know.
All right, we're definitely not back podcasting that day. I don't give a shit. No, I know. I didn't think we were, but I wanted to firm that on the record.
I would never.
Just saying.
But we'll talk about this more next week, but I will just throw this out there. The best thing about this match is that it's at 8:00 in the evening.
Huh. Okay.
What a lovely and sensible and civilized time for a match.
Yeah.
I am delighted beyond belief.
Not like those fucking Europeans with their
3 p.m.
3 p.m.
Mm. Yeah, fuck you.
Ish.
So yes.
Learn how time zones work, friends.
Yep.
Yeah. Fuck your own friends. Make it convenient for
you. Make it work for us. It's all about us. Do you mind? So yes, so that is great. And then anyway, we'll talk about all this later. So, yes. All right. Yep. Yeah. Again, we'll more evaluation of him post Copa, I think. Okay. So now let's move on to something just very random, but we have to at least mention it or acknowledge it. So last night on Twitter, Mike Newell, friend of the podcast, friend of ours, retweeted something a little surprising. Brought a name back from the archives, and I have to find my shirt. I know which drawer it's in. I just have to dig it out. Nick Soelsma, that's right, Nick Soelsma.
Soelsma.
No. I'll never forget how deceptively slow quick he was.
I know.
He was that so turn. Slow quick.
That turn he it would was, do. Yeah.
It fooled everyone.
Every time.
Fucking because everyone. God, what?
You couldn't gauge how fast or slow he was going. It made no sense.
After that last season, I abso-fucking-lutely would have given him one more contract.
Yeah.
It's like, let's see if we can keep this mystical magic up.
I know. It was so weird. So for the 2024-25 season for the, what is it? The Vancouver Metro Super League or something like that. He's playing for BB5 United. And the last time he played for them, because he's played for them before, they were the provincial champs. And he's back again. 10 years after he first suited up for us when he moved to BC, he's come back home to wear the United kit once again.
Say the next sentence.
A top goal scorer everywhere he has played.
Everywhere, huh?
No.
Everywhere.
Point to the map. Tweeter. Huh? Hey, Tweeter, point to the map. Liar.
Anyway, it is something. Like, he's, how old is he? Late 30s now. It's something. 36. God, he is younger than I thought he was. I really thought he was older than that. Wow.
And he only gets slower with age. So this is more remarkable. Like, how hurting is this team? It's like, I know he scored a lot of goals, but do you think he goes faster than a walk? Or anyway.
So he has not played in like 4 years. Oh,
what a signing.
What could go wrong?
Wow. Oh, that's right, because they had a different name when he played for them. That's why I was really confused when I was like BB5. I don't remember him playing for a team called that. They've changed, they've rebranded. That's what it is. They were used to be called something else, as I look at his Wikipedia page.
Does the VMSL like have any teams that play out of Houston? I'm guessing they don't.
Oh God, I forgot he played for the Rovers briefly and was like a coach at the same time. Oh my goodness. Hilarious. Anyway, this is so fascinating. So like my goal now is to like somehow plan a trip to go see my brother in Vancouver and make it work around one of these matches.
Yeah,
I'm just like intrigued beyond belief by this. So anyway, Nick Soulsma, welcome back to Canadian soccer. It's been a while. All right. Well, speaking of Canadian soccer, let's do a little check in on the CAMPL. Since I had the misfortune of watching. I was able to watch some matches this weekend, and I really regret it because they were both terrible matches.
Garbage.
I watched Halifax and the Aquamen just snore their way to a 0-0 draw. It was awful. Truly bad match. And then the Pony Boys somehow managed to beat Hamilton 1-0, and that was an equally awful match.
To be fair,
at least there was a goal.
Calgary's mediocrity was not nearly as egregious as Forge's.
No, Hamilton were bad.
Hamilton were fucking terrible.
It was like that match. Like, and I was expecting fight. I was like, okay, fine.
Wait.
Aquaman have their issues. Halifax's thing. I was expecting fireworks in this match. These two teams hate each other. I was like, goals and fights like something.
Studs up tackles.
And it sucked.
Some shenanigans, but not violent shenanigans.
There was an entire lacking of shenanigans.
Yeah, it was pretty shenanigan free. Duncan, did you? I assume you didn't catch any of this match.
No, I did not.
Okay.
But I'd have been there, but apparently there was none. So
none to be had. Yeah. Duncan, Forge were so bad. They would have only gotten a draw in Montreal.
Oof.
Or in Montreal. Suck it. Woo! Semifinals, motherfucker. Anyway, that's a lap I'm gonna take for a while. No, they were, it was, there was like, it wasn't even like they had, you know, opportunities, like great opportunities that they missed, or they hit a crossbar. It was just fucking nothing.
And a stupid red card to boot.
Oh yeah, there was, sorry, correction. There was a stupid red card, but it was like compounded stupid. It wasn't like, wait, was that the, am I thinking of that match? Am I thinking of the right
no,
match?
No, because there was a red card in both matches. The one for the Aquaman was two yellows, so yeah. Also stupid. But the one for was Hamilton, that the swing out? Yes,
yeah, okay, that was so dumb. Sorry, so there was shenanigans, but like adequately and quickly dispatched with. Like it wasn't. It was just it was one incident, and it's like, yeah, you're a fucking moron. Red card.
Well, and it was so dumb because he went he got a free, anyway,
it hurts, Duncan, just to think about it.
It was the stupidest. it was just one of the stupidest displays of temper, like, and so unnecessary. He had just won a free kick. Like it, anyway, it was so dumb.
Yeah,
matches were so stupid.
I never wanted to log out of Fubo so quickly so I could go watch rando YouTube. Honestly,
like anything else,
like and this is not sponsored, but thank God for the Savannah Bananas. Does everybody know what the Savannah Bananas are?
About the Savannah Bananas,
the baseball
team. Thank you for telling me.
Baseball team.
Yes,
you can watch every game live that they play on YouTube. What a delightful palate cleanser after the hours of dog shit football that I subjected myself to on Saturday. As Kristen did. She did more. She did far more. But it was still dog shit. Just abysmal, terrible fucking thing. I was
so happy when you told me that was on. Oh, my God.
And I turned it on. I turned it on. I think I'd missed the first inning. And then that's when you pinged me. And that's when I sent you the link. Because I said, I may have said roughly, thank God I got the Savannah Bananas. And you're like, what? And so I sent you the link.
Oh, no, no. You said banana ball. And I was
banana
like,
ball. Sorry.
Excuse
that's
me,
right.
What the hell is banana ball? And then I was like, oh, my God.
For those of you who I'm sure I've talked about this before in here, but if I haven't, imagine, if you will, baseball, but fun. And before you get all mad, like, oh, baseball is fun. It's like, no, it's fucking not. It's just not. It's slow. And then it's slow. They strip out all the slow shit. You can't step out of the batter's box. There's no meanings on the mound. Pitches have to come quickly. Like there's no like wait and wave things off. And if they're waving signals off, it's because they're probably doing a bit. Honestly, they're doing.
And then there's dance numbers.
The game will end in 2 hours. That's
so
right. That's right. Baseball Puritans. Tell me how awesome your stupid game is. Take 3.5 hours. They can do it in under 2. Every inning matters. Walks. Walks. This is my favorite part of the walk. If the pitcher walks you 4 balls, you race. You go run to first. You can keep taking bases until the ball is live once every player in the outfield touches the ball. So it becomes this quick, all the outfielders have to rush in towards second base and they quickly flip the ball to all players. And then usually it results in a single, but sometimes you get a double out of it. And it's just, this is amazing. It's just so good. It's so good. And then there's dance numbers, which we said. But anyway, what a palate cleanser. It's exactly the sorbet you needed after the worst weekend of CPL. Yep. Like it's just,
yeah, it's just bad.
I still love the game. I still love this league. I will still watch it next week. But fucking shit, that was awful.
Yeah. So then Sunday rolls around. The two good matches, apparently.
Oh my God, so good.
Like, I didn't see either of them because, again, I was at work. But, like, 2-0 Otledi over Winnipeg. Like, that's not a shock at all. But, and of course, Ollie Bassett scored because, whatever. Mm. But the match I wish I had watched and was, like, getting updates on my phone at work was the YU guys versus the Seagulls because that looked delightful.
Super
and
fun.
You guys said you watched this, right?
I saw the highlights. Duncan?
It was half-assedly on after I was watching the Canada-France game. And there's a few goals happening here. And so, hey, this is a good entertaining game, yes. Am I going to go into much detail about it? No, could I? But you know, I didn't regret having it on.
I will say though, and this is from, this is carried over from the Forge York match, is that York's goalie, Vincenzini. If somebody listens to this who knows him, it's nothing personal. But he's ungood. He's ungood.
Ungood.
I'm not going to say he's terrible, but he's ungood. He's just, he made a stop and the ball went up in the air and then underneath the bar behind him. And it's like, my God. He had a howler of a match against, like in the Hamilton game, where he choked up a free kick and like then he went chasing the ball in the 18 and then it ended up in the back of the net. I'm like, what a calamity. I never thought I would see a situation where it's like, man, don't you wish you still had Giantsopoulos still? Because like I do think Nico Giantsopoulos is a very good keeper. He's very, very good keeper. But I just thought it was going to be a case of like, it's kind of like, I kind of feel like Canadian keepers are kind of like MLS keepers. Like there's, you've got very good ones. And then the ones below it, they're not, it's not that they're bad. They're just unproven, but they're usually pretty decent. And Vincenzini is not ready for prime time, but he's their number one. So I hope you turn a corner and start kicking ass. Cause I do like York United. I do. But you're hard to watch. And York scored a couple. They scored one really nice goal and they scored another really good goal. Like, but super, super fun. Super fun match, back and forth. York did not deserve a draw. They deserved the 3 points. However, that was the game I wish I'd watched on Saturday, but it was on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. So with all of that, here's the table. After that weekend, after last weekend, Atleti firmly in first place right now, 21
super
points.
Team.
Super club. Yeah. 17 goals, only 6 against. Anyway, they're kicking butt, but Seagulls not right behind them. This is the fun part of the CAMPL right now. So you've got Ottawa and then 5 teams basically jockeying for a position. And then Winnipeg kind of like, we're here. We can play. Let's play. And then Halifax is
We still exist.
Look, we won a couple games. We can do it. And then Halifax, who is just dying so far this season. So Seagulls are in second, 14 points, 0 goal differential, 14 and 14. Interesting. Hamilton in third by dearth of more goals scored over Pacific, but also they've played less games. They still have a game in hand, as do Halifax. And then come the Aquamen, who have still scored almost no goals. It's really bizarre, but they've let in hardly any as well. They've scored 7, let in 4. Anyway, it's stressing me out. Then Calgary with 12, YU guys with 11, and then, yes, Winnipeg with 7, and Halifax, 3 draws. Yeah. 3 points. So, yes. Who's letting the most goals? Oh, Winnipeg. Shocking nobody. 17 goals. Well, closely followed by the YU guys. The bottom 3 all with negative goal differentials. Everybody else mostly in the positive except for the Seagulls. Anyway, it is interesting to see Ottawa, you know, taking over top spot pretty handily. And for the Seagulls to somehow continue to hang on in that up in the upper echelon. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how this shuffles out over the next few weeks. But Ottawa just seems to be getting stronger as the season goes on. And Vancouver is just like kind of like, ah, fuck all you haters. We have gorgeous kids and we are going to continue to play up here with the rest of you. Ha ha ha, kind of thing. I feel like that must be the mentality in the dressing room. You know what I mean? Like, cause it's the Seagulls. It's yeah. Anyway, it's fun.
Yeah. Fun.
Mark, it's okay. Hamilton will be fine.
Look, I'll be like, it's still early. Okay. I'm just mad at the 2 hours. Okay. I'm just mad at the time.
No, it's fair.
It's not even like, oh, we lost and upset. No, I don't care if we lose. Just don't lose shit. And you lost shit. Play better, guys. Expect better. Hell, even Calgary should expect better from us. God damn. Imagine those poor bastards who paid to see it. Idiots. I know, that turned.
So yes. This is how the I'd be very curious to see how long this sort of log jam of these five teams continues. And if previous Campbell seasons are any example, it's going to be for a while. So, but yeah, Ottawa play the YU guys next. So that shouldn't do much to stop them. Hamilton are on the road to Halifax. And the Aquamen are playing Winnipeg. Maybe they can score some goals, which leaves the Seagulls hosting the Pony Boys in the match of the week. Dun, dun, dun.
Ooh.
Ooh. There you go. All right. Moving on from that, a couple more things, and then we're going to look at TFC's match this weekend, and then we're going to say goodbye for the week. The Crew. Who we saved, and we, other than a couple of players that we like, and we also like Wilfred Nancy. It's very difficult. It's one of those teams that we really don't want to like, but we like some of the people associated with them. Now, one of the people associated with them that a good chunk, or at least a chunk, a segment of TFC fans wish was still with Toronto FC, and that, of course, is Tim Bezbachenko, has fled the building. And is moving to some, what is his new position?
He is moving to Black Knight Holdings, Black Knight Football, sorry.
Like they sound like something from a Monty Python sketch. Like
they,
what?
They are associated with the
with the Cherries, right?
No, yeah, with Polish. Sorry, they're associated with the Vegas Golden Knights, who have a stake in
That's what it is, yeah, right?
Because the Black Knights, for those of you who don't know, why two different knights? The guy who owns the Vegas Golden Knights wanted them to be the Vegas Black Knights because he's an ex-army guy, and he didn't want to call them. They weren't sure if they could call them the Black Knights because Army has a trademark on that, so they went with Golden Knights. But didn't stop from naming his holding company Black Knight Holdings. Gross. There, not confused. Too bad. So yeah, so he's basically moving over to Bournemouth. I don't see how Tam and Gam are going to fucking help him over there, honestly. I feel like this is a mistake. And Bez, you should really think about this. And maybe come home. Anyway, and home is here, not Pittsburgh.
And it might work out over there, He's clearly done very well over here, and maybe move on to new things. But his whole thing is almost like the capologist or what have you. There isn't a cap over there.
To be fair, though, he's got a bigger budget, And
he will have a bigger budget, although in comparison to most of his competition, he doesn't.
No, but if it's the case of, say, being able to budget and stretch a pound a little further than it normally does, he's, I mean, granted, like, he's, there's definitely some nuances he's going to have to figure out, but the guy pretty much figured it out here, and it's the most complex goddamn thing. We've been following it for 17 years and we still don't fucking get it. So, like, something, you know what I mean? It's like there was the analogy works, I promise. The card game Magic the Gathering, there were former world champions of Magic the Gathering who quit Magic to go play poker because it was easier and they won. This is what I kind of feel like it is. It's like, I know you're dealing with all this complex bullshit. Here's a free market version of it where you don't have to worry about things. Okay. I think he's going to do fine.
So what else is interesting with all this, though? Like, some of this is a little bit of scuttlebutt. Like, I've seen in the background or whatever, is that there's some bad feelings around the management echelon in the crew. And so Isatal has now stepped in as the general manager now that Bez is gone, who immediately fired or managed to turf another fellow assistant general manager. Apparently there was two of them, and exec of the year a couple years ago for MLS Next, Crew 2 GM Corey Ray, who was on Bez's staff here in Toronto. Anyway, so he's been fired. He's done. They want to move into a different direction that better aligns with his, Tal's, and Nancy's vision, apparently. So it sounds like people are fleeing, basically, and or being thrown overboard. So there's a couple other execs. I don't have confirmation on a couple of them, but it also sounds like they are potentially looking for new work as well, as they do some restructuring behind the scenes. So I hope this does not affect Jason Russell Rowe badly. It's really all I care about. Like, I like Wilfred Nancy, but I want JRR to continue to light things up and slowly move up the ranks of the national team, because I really like that young man. It does put more fuel on the "no, TFC never keeps any players" fire, but it's fine. Whatever. What else would we talk about if TFC didn't cut talented young players? Anyway, but it's intriguing times over in the land of the Columbus Crew. So good luck, Bez.
Yeah.
Sure. Gonna be, yeah, not really. I think it will go badly. I don't know.
Necessarily, you know, he's a smart guy, but there's only so well it's ever going to go at Bournemouth.
You know, if
he sort of keeps him away from relegation for a couple of years, that's probably going to be considered, okay, yeah, he did all right. And he's not going to be winning any fucking trophies or anything over there. He gets to 10th. Ooh, grand triumph. It is what it is. It's, you know, do okay with, I guess the plan is probably do okay with Bournemouth and then hopefully get yourself a position at some other team where you can actually win something.
Yeah. Get them to Europe. Ha ha ha. But
yeah, I guess that's going to happen.
No, it's not. But they just don't have the money, really. Anyway, so there you go. There's our rare look at another MLS team.
Yeah. Columbus just shitting themselves all over the place.
Yep. Delightful. One other thing before we move on to TFC's match this weekend. The semifinal legs, the dates for the Voyageurs Cup semifinals have finally been confirmed earlier this afternoon. So July 10th, Hamilton will host Toronto and the Aquamen will host the Whitecaps. And then August 27th, yes, that many weeks away.
I think you meant to say July 27th, because why would you have two legs six goddamn weeks apart?
That is a great question, Mark. It seriously hurts my brain.
I think I'm just gonna end with what? Honestly, fucking what?
When I saw the tweet, I was like, well, that has to be a typo. Like, that can't be right. Like, you know, did some Googling and went to Canada Soccer's website and everything. I was like, oh, no, they meet. Oh, right. Okay.
I mean, so just imagine, you know, if, you know, it's a Hamilton door right in the first leg, you know, maybe it's like a tie.
Momentum.
Or, you know, they've got like a little bit of a lead or something. And everything's fucking in the balance. You got 6 weeks to wait for the denouement of all of this.
Getting six weeks of anticipation. Getting all three MLS clubs in one tournament is pretty dead right now. So yeah. We, you know what? The dream was fun, guys. I just want to say. And honestly, if we get the result and still lose, like if we beat them like 1-0 at Hamilton and then lose 17-0 in Toronto, we still beat them 1-0. You can't fucking take that away from us. You can have the other leg. I don't give a shit. You have no idea the lengths I will settle for a fucking time. I will settle so quickly. It's like, wait a minute. So as long as we let you run up the score at home for you guys on the road, you'll let us like scrappily beat you. I will trade that in for a second. We will live on that. We will live on that for decades.
So July 10th and then August 27th. There you go, people. Start plan your vacations now. So we'll talk about that more in a month. Yay. What's coming up? Well, what's coming up is the 2-week break is over, and that means TFC is back in action, baby. Woohoo! And they play at home this Saturday to the Tire Fire, who are living up to the nickname we gave them all those years ago, or someone else gave them. It's pretty much always been a good nickname for them.
Yeah.
They are often just not good.
Mm-hmm.
Just not good. And the season so far is no different. They are, I think, second last. They have a horrible road record. Thank goodness. I think they're just not good. They're not good. So this should be a good match for TFC to bounce back on, shall we say, after, again, two draws is not a bad thing, except for that, you know, we've discussed those matches and they're like, maybe they were bad things. They don't score a lot of goals. They let in a decent number, probably a little similar to Toronto in terms of, you know, defensive abilities. So Duncan, you could be in for a Duncan special.
Yeah. It's TFC, so there's going to be some feistiness and just general
shithousery
going on, because that's what we do now.
Indeed. And since you will be there to enjoy the festivities, so
yes,
Duncan will once again be the sole representative of the podcast at BMO Field this week. Thank you, Duncan, for again representing us ably and consistently. You know, we aspire to be like you, Duncan, and actually go to matches. So thank you, we appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I did think there's one amusing thing that I saw. Apparently, this game it's like TFC's pride game, also celebrating Father's Day. And sort of something indigenous as well. Just they're throwing all the fucking promotions at this game, which is kind of entertains me.
Chaotic and ridiculous. Yes. Yeah. Good times. So I do expect Toronto to win this game. I still expect it to be chaotic, but I think just based on both teams, having another home match. They've got a couple home matches in a row because Nashville next week. The return of Shufflebird. Yes, I somehow made his nickname even worse. Shuffleboard. There we go. But this will be, you know, they've had a couple weeks off. Hopefully some of the injured players that were still maybe, you know, back from injury, but carrying little, you know, some little knocks are better healed. I'm not sure if, I'm just trying to see who's still injured for Toronto. Now, Cervania still probably not back until like July. O'Neill might be back. That's a possibility. So some potential defensive help there. That could be something. But also no Bernadeschi for this one because red cards. Because stupid.
He wanted to be able to kick the ball away and not get punished.
So stupid. Oh, actually, who else? Someone else. Oh, Gomis? Gomis got suspended. Yeah, so they're both, neither of them are available for this match. Yay.
Yeah.
All right, Larry, it's all on you. It's all on you, baby. Yeah, so that's unfortunate in terms of, you know, having one of your best players missing. And, you know, Gomis has acquitted himself decently, I think, through much of the season. But at least it's against one of the lesser lights, which if you're going to miss players, have it be against a team that's not very good, basically. Maybe Bernadeschi just wanted more of a vacation. I don't know. I don't think so. But let's talk about Chicago and their players and some players to watch. Shaqiri, right. Oh, God. Remember that match, Mark?
Yep. I still get not really nightmares, but just general terror at the human marble that is fucking Shaqiri. I mean, it's not an insult. The guy is solid, he's small, and the motherfucker may as well be rolling. Because you can't stop him. He just terrorizes right through you as a forward. I'm surprised. Like, I genuinely am surprised, though. Like, he hasn't had a golden boot in this league. I just feel like he's the perfect guy to destroy defenders in this league. But he's got a whole two goals this season, if I saw correctly. So I mean,
that's concerning.
Still a threat, you know? Still a threat. Given that he's only played half of the available minutes that you can play in a season so far. So he's had a couple substitutions off and on. I mean, he's always fun to watch, regardless of whether the team around him is shit or not. But yeah, Shaqiri. I mean, that's my natural pick is Shaqiri, just because he's just fun. He is fun to watch. And he looks like he's going to murder somebody. Usually it's a ref, but he looks like he's going to murder someone.
Oh, seriously. Like, and like there's like a lack of neck.
Yeah. He will go to jail for violence on a pitch.
He's very much like, he's not quite a square, but he's a very thick rectangle.
Oh yeah.
But that manages to move around very quickly. And what were the kits they were wearing that day too? They were wearing, I don't know. There were these white kits. And then anyway, he blended in with it was the oddest experience watching a player who was also actively seeking to destroy your team. Like, it was fascinating. It is stuck in my brain and I don't think it will leave anytime soon. But also Haile Selassie, just because I like the name.
Sure. Yeah, I'm just going to stick to make fun of names for this whole player to watch thing, because, Chicago, whatever. So we'll start off with a little twist on the usual announcing thing. And we can do a little sort of guess the first name. So, you know, I'll say the last name, you say the first. First off, we go with H. Kuipers. Kuipers, don't know how to pronounce it. He's Belgian. First name begins with H. What do you think it is?
Harvey? Hervé?
Hugo. Hugo. Hugo Kuipers. Sure.
I would not have gone with Hugo.
Did they have a sale on that?
I was going to say Herbert, but I thought that was too French. So, Hébert.
Next up, Gutierrez. Gutierrez. First name begins with B.
Oh.
Brian. Oh, my God, it is.
Is it Brian?
Brian.
Oh, my God, it is. I wanted to go
Bruce. I was going to stick with like manly names, Hugo.
I was just going for the swerve. Like I figured, I was trying to be subversive, not actually guess the name, Doug. I just wanted to say that
it was obviously, you know, you're supposed to think of something sort of Latino sounding. No, yeah. Brian.
Brian.
Yes.
Los Brian.
See. Los Brian. But yeah, the player to watch is Andrew Gutman.
Gutman's still there?
I may be pronouncing it wrong, but Gutman. What's this guy's superpower? He just drinks all the beer and then he's going around.
It's like Homer Simpson when he was with Lollapalooza and he could like repel the cannonballs.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, similar kind of thing. I think it's more offensive than defensive. He's going out there and taking people out with his gut. But
I'm just picturing this like superhero gut swinging into players.
Yeah, I'm just a big, sort of fat, beer swilling guy with a gut.
I'm Gutman.
Gutman. Yeah. Anyway, that's who I'm going to be watching. Andrew Gutman.
Chris Mueller. He's still. Oh, damn. All right. That's. I didn't realize he was still playing. No TFC.
True.
Wow.
True. I scanned that list a few times. I was hoping that one of them would turn up, but no X. Nothing.
Oh, that's so interesting. But actually, hasn't happened that often, has it? That someone from Toronto has gone to Chicago. I don't feel like it's happened much. Anyway, but still, yeah, no TFC. All right. There you go. Aragoni. A Aragoni. Okay, I'll give it up for alliteration. What's your first name? Alan?
What kind Alan? Of name? Kind of a name is Alan?
Al Aragoni.
I will to the
disappointed.
Yeah, fuck all Alans. Fuck all of them.
He doesn't listen, so it's fine.
No.
Kristen, to your point, in 2011 we acquired DeSan Robinson. Remember him, DeSan Robinson?
Yes.
And a second and a draft pick for Dan Gargan.
That's right.
Went to Chicago.
Yes, he went to Chicago.
Yes, he scored against Toronto.
Yes, I was trying, and that's what I was like, there's somebody.
I knew there was one, and I knew it was for some. I'll include Tony in this. Out of the four of us, I am not that good at remembering time and place, but for some reason, I'm like, I feel like it was like 2011, 2012, and if I couldn't find it in 2011, 2012, I was gonna stop. I was never gonna.
Fair.
I wasn't even gonna look.
Never up. Gonna look again. Yep.
Went to 2011. Boom, Gargan went to Chicago.
Huh. Intriguing.
Yeah.
There you go.
That will never be a question in any pub quiz ever. So.
Or will it? No.
Or will it? True. all you people who listen to our show to fill your questions up with our nonsense.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
At some point in the future, there'll be a, you know, sort of MLS Cup finals, like Chicago versus Toronto, and you know,
oh god, yeah,
wherever it happens, you know, it's like some, you know, hosty thing. We'll have a pub quiz, and you know, there's questions about Chicago and Toronto history, and then it'll come up. But that's literally the only scenario. And when the fuck is Chicago ever going to get to an MLS Cup? Never. So, yes, you're right.
Well,
back.
They'll get to
Never.
The World Cup first. So
that's a good point. Yep.
All right. Well, then, predictions for this match, gentlemen.
3-2.
Wow.
4.
Yeah, I'd say Toronto.
Just checking.
Yeah.
I'll say 3-1 Toronto.
Same.
Okay.
Well done.
But still, tons of chaos, and I think there's a red card in there somewhere. I don't know for which team, maybe for both, but I feel like it's going to happen again. Something stupid's going to happen towards the end of the match. Just yeah. Is Richie Larea back? Is Richie Larea back yet? He hasn't had a red card for a while. I know he just got suspended, but that wasn't a red card. That was just stupid. So, you know,
he played half an hour against France with himself.
Yeah,
a free
he's,
kick.
He's fine. He's fit, so it'll be fine.
Yeah.
I predict Richie Larea does something stupid. And there we go. That's my additional prediction for Saturday's match. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thank you for joining us. Please join us next week when we recap Toronto's match. Look ahead to Copa America, which starts next week. Canada playing Argentina on Thursday. TFC also have a couple more matches, or at least one more match. There's more matches to talk about. And see what else is interesting and exciting in the world of football that we wish to discuss. I have been joined by these two lovely gentlemen to be found out there on the Twitters at Duncan D. Fletcher, Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
Good man.
Yeah.
On the tweet machine at Kit Nerd Mark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Thank you to everybody who continues to support our podcast via Patreon. We absolutely appreciate it. And I got a couple links in the show notes for you to check out when you get a moment. First off, there is a lovely little anecdote that was shared on Twitter, courtesy of Mike Whaley. Thank you very much for doing it. About a kid's soccer tournament, a letter delivered, and a halftime speech.
Yay.
Go. It's awesome.
It's so lovely.
And if you're not a fan of this player, you will be forever. That's how much of a legend we're talking
about. I love them. It's funny. My dad just, there's now a Toronto Star article. My dad just sent me the article while we were recording. Yeah.
But like, delightful.
It's so delightful.
And secondly, I know we talk a lot of Copa America around here, but
If
you are at all interested in doing being part of a fun Euro Prediction League, please come join us at the Vocal Minority. Fuck, I practiced it like 100 times. The Vocal Minority Euroty Podcast Predictor League. It's through FontMob. If you're not aware of FontMob, it's awesome. It's worth it. It's worth the $5 to get the ad free version. Honestly, take my money. You guys do great work. But they have a built in predictor league that. You can join the league in the link in the show notes. I'm also going to tweet it out too, if you don't feel like traversing our website. Come join us. And I just set it up. So, you know, join it, fill it out, have a laugh. It's just me in there now. It's cold.
Sorry, I've been busy.
I will try to join you there.
So come find us and be a part, and we'll have a laugh, and there's no prizes, like just bragging rights.
Yeah.
Tony will sing your name if you win. He doesn't even know that we're promising this. So
he will.
Stick around in October, you'll hear a song. Nobody's coming back in October.
Tony's back in October.
Maybe.
What? Sure. All right. As for me, you can find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet at KZ Knowles. I have been your host, Kristen Knowles. And until next week, Canada, get used to it.